Lights are live.
It is 1:05 p.m. on Monday, February 5, 2018. I'm Randy Christman, Chairman of the Commission. With me today are Commissioners Brian Krosius and Julie Fedorchak. We're having a work session today on case number PU-17-96 regarding Minn Kota Ag Products Incorporated and the Otter Tail Power Company's Richland County PC&N, Public Convenience and Necessity. Just in way of kind of opening comments, some of you met earlier, but I have a longtime family friend job shadowing me today. Michaela Vagely is here from Beulah, North Dakota, and she's met some of you. Also at our table today is Jerry Lean, and we'll go around and each be on the record. And Zach Pelham does not actually work for the PSC. He is an attorney here in town who we have hired to do legal work for us on this specific case. So that's all the opening comments I have. Commissioner Krosius? Commissioner Fedorchak, it's your portfolio. I'll come to you last.
I do not have any opening comments.
Commissioner Krosius?
I don't have any opening comments as well. I just want to dive into it and hear from Zach, I think, to begin with, in terms of the petition to intervene. This is new for me, so I would welcome your thoughts on that.
And before you start, though, Jerry, also go on the record and just a little description of what you do here for our guest.
Jerry Lean, and I'm an advisor to the commission analyst, public utility analyst.
And an electrical engineer.
Jerry's so humble. Commissioner, to respond to your question, the petition to intervene was filed. It's a little bit not as typical. Usually we see the intervention request prior to the hearing. The rule, however, in our administrative code does allow for a intervention after hearing. I think in the both petitions it outlines what the rules are, but basically a petition to intervene in any proceeding must be filed at least 10 days prior to the hearing, but not after except for good cause shown. So typically, an intervention request is decided by the administrative law judge. The commission can, however, make the decision on its own. So it's probably appropriate that the petition was made when it was fortuitous in a way, so that at least it could be discussed at the work session as to how to handle it. You know, the commission could go a couple different ways. You know, the a representative of Minn Kota did testify and present evidence at the hearing when the hearing was held. At the same time, there was a post-hearing briefing, so additional information was made and argued by both Dakota Valley and Otter Tail, to which apparently Minn Kota felt that it wanted or needed a spot at the table, so to speak, and wanted to present its own evidence, and it's requested to do that either in writing. Well, it's requested to do that in writing and orally. The commission can grant the intervention request. It could defer to the ALJ to make the decision on the intervention request. Under the rule, it does allow for kind of fine-tuning. I was just reading here. Any person with substantial interest in a proceeding may petition to intervene in that proceeding by complying with the section. An intervention may be granted if the petitioner has a statutory right to be a party to the proceeding, or the petitioner has a legal interest which may be substantially affected by the proceeding, and the intervention would not unduly broaden the issues or delay the proceeding. And then it goes on to say the commission may impose conditions and limitations on an intervention to promote the interests of justice. So I think if it if the direction from the commission was such that to limit what could be done, say for example, I'm just throwing it out there, if rather than opening up for additional oral testimony, whether it be limited, it could potentially be limited to just written testimony. It's also something that I could go to the attorneys for each of the parties, including the proposed intervener, Minn Kota's attorney, and ask them whether or not they'd agree to limiting the intervention to oral testimony. Dakota Valley has responded in opposition. You've all received that, and I'm not going to read it because it's written down, but the gist of it is so, well, this information has already been received. Minn Kota's had their opportunity to present. I spoke with Mr. Stephenson, counsel for Otter Tail, and he indicated that Otter Tail was in support of the intervention, and if it would be helpful, they would simply file a short memorandum in support of Minn Kota's position. So that's kind of a long-winded primer, I guess, Commissioner, and I'll be quiet, and you may have some follow-up questions for me.
How does prior testimony by Otter Tail, or not Otter Tail, by Minn Kota, that's already on the record?
It is.
So I guess it's hard to speculate in terms of what additional information they may want to add, but it wouldn't do anything if it was basically a repeat of that information. Is that correct, or is that not the correct way to look at that?
Well, I think anything, if permitted to intervene and permitted to present testimony, whether it be orally or through an affidavit or some other type of written additional argument, would be for consideration by you and the other commissioners in reaching a decision on this matter. Kind of how I looked at it in the petition. Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, nothing in this world is perfect. It would have been, in a perfect world, the intervention request would have been made prior to the hearing and we'd have everything. But looking at it from the standpoint of you as commissioners having to make the decision that is the right decision with everything that's presented to allow all of those who are involved in the process to have sort of a place at the table and have their say, if the intervention is allowed, it completes that, and then you have everything. And also, and I'm not saying that this would happen, but if there were an appeal from one of the sides, then if you had denied the intervention request, that could be a point that could be picked up by the court and saying, well, intervention should have been allowed. And I would hate for that to be a reason for a remand when I don't see the downside really is maybe from a time perspective, more time has had to be spent on this matter to allow for Minn Kota to say what they want to say in their intervention. That to me is the downside. Now, if everyone is allowed to present in response to what Minn Kota is going to say, if they're allowed to be interveners, I don't see how those interests would be necessarily harmed, because everyone would have the opportunity, so to speak, to have their say in response.
Zach, I tend to be one who argues for more is better, and yeah, let's have the record as full as possible. But I am looking at the rule that guides intervention, and it says a petition to intervene in any proceeding must be filed at least 10 days prior to the hearing, but not after, except for good cause shown. So it seems like you'd always be able to make the argument that whatever somebody's bringing is more information and it's a good idea because the parties, you have a fuller record and all this and that. So if that's always the case, why do we have that?
It's a very good question. And I'm not sitting here and saying that you would not be within your rights to deny the intervention. I think the question is, has good cause been shown by Minn Kota in their briefing? And that's ultimately a decision that you as commissioners have to decide. And of course,
I didn't see any reference to the rationale for why they waited in their briefing. Like, I didn't see a single mention of why they didn't intervene before or even immediately after the December 20th. It seemed as if they completely ignored that piece in their briefing.
I think there's probably some extrapolation that has to be read into what they're arguing.
And I sort of thought that, and I remember it because at least one of his points, I think, had to do with my question in our work session. I said, I wonder if Mr. Schuler still feels the same now, having heard from Dakota Valley Electric that they wouldn't require those soft start motors at a big expense. And in the petition to intervene, he talks about that and what he thinks could potentially happen with not having those soft start motors. So it is somewhat responsive.
And I think,
and of course, that their offer that they would not require them was after he had done his testimony.
Sure. So, and as to Commissioner Fedorchak's point, and I think you probably have a point in the sense that, you know, if they were permitted to intervene before, would this have been addressed at the time? Would it have been addressed in the briefing afterwards? When would it have been addressed? Would it have been addressed? Could it have been addressed after the first work session? Those are all difficult questions to answer because we'll never know because Minn Kota hadn't intervened. But now we look at it and they are seeking to intervene, and they are the subject of this proceeding in many respects, in the sense that they are the reason for the hearing, and they've indicated that they wish to formally intervene. As I said before, the timing isn't the greatest, but at the same time, I think the question is do we grant them the right? Does that overcome, not granting and not giving them a place at the table? Under our rules, I think our rules do allow it for good cause shown. The question is good cause shown?
Even in this particular case, could you truly argue they didn't have a place at the table?
Well, they had a place at the table in a way, in the sense that their representative did testify, and their position, and is admitted in the briefing, is very similar to Otter Tail's, although it is not identical to Otter Tail's position in this. So, in that respect, they did. Maybe they had a seat next to the table, but they didn't have a seat at the table because they weren't a party.
Well, before we continue, from my perspective, I think we should let the ALJ decide. I have these thoughts and concerns and can see a lack of addressing the issue of timing and why they waited. But I think it's best for the ALJ to weigh the issues as a whole and make the recommendation. That's what we typically do when it comes to matters of intervention. I think we should stick with that.
I agree. That's what we hired them for. One of the things that we hired them for.
We did have, I believe, these cases tend to be, now having done this the second one, there's a pattern that I see where you have the hearing and then we have a work session and the parties listen to us and they get worried about what they hear and they want to. I think the last time there was a request for a rehearing, wasn't there?
It was an oral argument on.
Oral arguments. Yeah. And so, so it's like that's kind of part of how this seems to work. There's like, we need another stab at this and make sure that they have everything that they need. And I think I can understand that because there's a lot at stake for the parties. So
I would say this. In terms of letting the ALJ decide, I could probably go along with that, but also be perfectly honest in that at this stage of the game, the issues to be considered in terms of what we look at haven't changed one bit. To my knowledge, the dynamics of what they're looking for hasn't changed. So I've spent an enormous amount of time on this, as I'm sure my colleagues have as well. Maybe it's still a little bit of my old prior days where you want things to move faster, and this feels a bit like throwing an anchor over the side of the boat.
Slow down.
Trying to get across the lake. And but I also realize that the dynamics in government are somewhat different. But just one more question. Would the potential for remand be lessened due to the fact that they had the opportunity to testify, or is that a moot point?
I think, hypothetically speaking, if the petition were denied by, say, the commission itself rather than the ALJ, that's kind of breaking with kind of standard practice, although it would be within your rights to do. If it was denied and if there was an appeal, and one of the issues on appeal was intervention should have been granted and it wasn't, that could be a reason for remand. Now, whether or not it would be a good reason or not, I'm not going to really opine on, but it would be a reason, an additional argument that could be made. And if we can, my view is if we can prevent that from even being an issue, when the downside is perhaps, yes, it's going to take a little bit longer, that would be my preference, is to avoid that as an issue altogether as a potential reason for remand.
If we allow intervention, or if the ALJ allows intervention, are there constraints to the constraints that can be applied to the intervener? And then is there something automatic? Do the existing parties automatically have a chance to respond to the intervener's statements, or how does that play out?
From a practical standpoint, Commissioner, I can't imagine a situation where the ALJ's order would not address the ability for another party to address what the intervener is throwing into the mix. But what I can do is I can file just a short statement indicating that this work session took place. The commission is asking the ALJ to make a decision, but something along the lines of, constraints on the matter should be limited to, the subject matter of the hearing, as well as ensuring that all sides have the opportunity to respond to whatever the intervener plans to put in. Something along those lines. Does that sound okay?
That's what I'm thinking, but I do want to clarify something. You had mentioned early on something about kind of a qualifier if these things don't have a big impact on the time schedule of whatever the project you're talking about is. It's my recollection that building this facility is already well underway and moving forward, and so this probably doesn't have much impact on their construction schedule, except for maybe which I don't think it should probably have much of any. And so if this does delay anything, it might be actually getting the electric service there when they're done. And so I would think that the intervener is going to want to move very quickly if allowed to address this further.
That would be a good assumption, I would think.
You recall, too, that the project is under construction, correct?
Okay. That's my understanding.
So Otter Tail, I think, would be providing temporary power into the site right now.
They are right now.
Okay. Well, then I side with having the ALJ make the determination on the intervention request.
Would it be safe to say that I can say something to the effect that the commission is not opposing, or should I just neutral? Gotcha. I will leave it neutral, and then I'll just put it in terms that in the event that it is granted, that, you know, we should limit the scope to what's already been discussed and allow all parties to have response to what is going to be filed by the intervener if it's granted.
And if it's possible, put on some reasonable but tough time constraints. We do want to keep this moving along.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean by what's already been discussed? If they've got additional evidence, we'd like to hear it, right?
Well, the subject matter. I mean, if there's new evidence,
that were noticed.
Then the issues that were noticed. I mean, we can't reopen this to issues that were not noticed, yeah. Which I don't. In reading their petition, I don't read that as being done, but just to be clear.
Okay. Who is the judge? Is it Pat?
Yes.
I'd be inclined to just leave it entirely up to him. He's got a lot of experience, and he's going to know what's the best approach for getting this a fair, timely hearing, I think. But so I don't know that he needs much direction from us.
Okay.
Get to that end.
You're probably right, and we're probably making more of this.
Yeah, then
we all like to have control.
He has to read into it, like what do are they meaning here? And I'd almost just rather let him look at the requests and the response and make the best decision for a fair, timely mm-hmm. resolution.
That's not a bad point. There's that inclination. Oh, yeah, and one more thing.
Yeah.
But it's your case.
Well, I think you have a sense of how I feel about it at this stage, but they are within the parameters of the law by making the request. And if this, in the end, solidifies the final outcome, whatever that may be, and not that anything is ever completely final in this world, but it reduces the chances that we're reviewing it yet again beyond that because of however it went, because there's only one party that's going to be happy in all of this and one party that's going to be unhappy. Then I am okay with letting the ALJ make the decision.
Well, he might decide not to.
He could.
I mean, it sounds like you're assuming he'll decide to, and 50-50 chance he decides the other ways.
So I think that's probably all we need to address today.
Yeah, I think until we have a decision, we'd be spinning our wheels on others. I mean, if the only way we wouldn't be is if you wouldn't grant it, and then, but, you know, I think we come back after we have a decision from the ALJ and proceed appropriately.
Anything else?
Not for me.
Okay, we're wrapped up. Thank you.